Back in 1961, Elvis Presley was in Florida to film a movie. When he was there, Elvis met an awestruck 11-year-old boy named Tom Petty, whose life was changed forever by that chance meeting. By the time Tom Petty was in high school, he'd formed several bands, including the Sundowners, the Epics, and eventually Mudcrutch. In 1974, that band packed up and left Gainesville, Florida to find fame and fortune in Los Angeles. The band's self-titled album in 76 earned them some critical recognition, as did their next album, 1978's You're Gonna Get It. But it was 79's album, Damn the Torpedoes, and its first single, Don't Do Me Like That, that forever secured Tom Petty's place on the rock and roll roadmap as a world-class songwriter, singer, guitarist, and performer. Gold and platinum albums, sold-out world tours, honors, awards, collaborations with the world's most respected musicians, not to mention a side project called The Traveling Wilburys, it's all on Tom Petty's resume. And in fact, just last March, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Tonight, Westwood One is proud to bring you the world premiere of the new album from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers called The Last DJ on Warner Brothers Records. For the next 90 minutes, we'll hear tracks from this ambitious project, along with some of Tom Petty's biggest hits. And you can talk to Tom live by calling our toll-free number, 1-800 in the U.S. That's 1-800-468-4387. Or you can send an email to tompetty@tompetty.com. And now, live from the Museum of Television and Radio in New York City, here's your host for this very special event, Jody Denberg.
Welcome to the world premiere broadcast of The Last DJ live with Tom Petty on Westwood One. Here we are in the heart of New York City, Tom. Did you have a good day in the city today?
Absolutely.
What'd you do?
The Conan O'Brien show.
Oh. So you got a studio tan?
Yeah, I was in NBC studios all day.
Do you, you know, when I think of Tom Petty, I think California, I think Florida. Now here we are in New York. Do you get to spend much time in the Big Apple?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm here a lot. Seems like it anyway.
And today is the big day. This is the release day of The Last DJ, October 8th, 2002. Yeah. It's a great album. In the introduction, I heard them talking about you meeting Elvis Presley. And for a lot of us, when some of us saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan show, that was what kicked off rock and roll for us. Was that meeting with Elvis for you what got you going?
Well, it got me interested in records. And I got, you know, I was a record collector at the age of 11. So I really just wanted a record because everyone was handing Elvis records to sign. And I thought if I had a record, next time I came down there, I'd get him to sign it, you know. But I never went back. So I got into records that way. And just really, you know, I still do just love to sit and listen to records and, you know, great rock and roll records. So when the Beatles came, I was about 13, and that's when it, you know, it became obvious to me that, oh, this is what I'm meant to do. You know, I'm going to learn how to play the music. And so, 'cause till then, I just thought of listening to it. I never thought of playing it.
Now, you're growing up and you're into records, but are you listening to those records on the radio in Florida?
Absolutely. Yeah, there was, in those days, everything was played, pop music was played on one station. We only had one station, and it played everything that was pop from, you know, the Beatles to even Frank Sinatra would come on, or if there was a big country record. Or, you got a really good education in all kinds of music just from that one station.
And your new album is called The Last DJ, and that song itself deals a bit about radio, the good, the bad. The ugly. And we're on the radio right now.
Hello.
I'll let you tell us
where
you're coming from.
Where am I coming from?
Let me tell you where I'm coming from, baby. Let me see. Where am I coming from with what?
With The Last DJ.
Oh, The Last DJ.
The song.
The song. Well, that song is, it's, you know, it's a fictional song. Oh, there are some people lately that seem to think, it, you know, that I aimed it at them or something, you know. But It's a fictional song, and it's a story. It introduces the like lead character, narrator of the record, as a disc jockey, who's like the last guy on earth that can play what he wants and say what he wants. And, you know, so he goes, it's a story about him sort of getting fed up and fired by, and he goes down to Mexico and starts his own station. But it's really just it's a kind of a metaphor for, boy, explaining these things is harder than writing them, I'll tell you. It's kind of a metaphor for like vanishing freedoms that we all are noticing, you know, and living in corporate America these days. It's kind of a fable about living in corporate America, if you would, you know. That's what the album is. And this is kind of the introduction where you meet the lead character.
Let's meet the lead character. We are live from the heart of New York City at the Museum of Television and Radio, the world premiere broadcast of The Last DJ, live with Tom Petty, and this is The Last DJ.
So much, and he won't play what they say to play, and he don't wanna change what don't need to change. And there goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. Yeah. Well, some folks say they're gonna hang him so high, 'cause you just can't do what he did. There's some things you just can't put in the minds of those kids. As we celebrate mediocrity, all the boys upstairs wanna see how much you'll pay for what you used to get for free. There goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. And there goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ. Sometimes it'll kinda come in, and I'll bust a move and remember how it was back then. And there goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. There goes the DJ.
Guess what? That was the title track of The Last DJ, new from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, live in stores today. And this is the world premiere broadcast of The Last DJ. I'm Jody Denberg, live with Tom Petty here at the Museum of Television and Radio. We're going to talk to some of our listeners tonight. If you'd like to call in, it's 1-800 in the U.S., 1-800-468-4387. We're also going to take some emails, and Tom has a new website, and that's TomPetty.com. If you want to email us, it's TomPetty@TomPetty.com. The last DJ, you were saying that's a fable about the corporatization of America. So this record, it's not necessarily... Well, first of all, the whole record is not a concept record. It's just a few songs, a handful at the beginning.
Oh, no, it's absolutely got a common thread through it. And, you know, there's only a few songs about the music industry. But it wasn't really intended. Like, the press has kind of really played that angle up, you know, the music industry. I use them as a metaphor, really. It could be any business that you wanted to use. You could use, you know, the used car business or the shoe business. Any of them would fit, you know. But we're in a place today where we want, you know, businesses, they want all the money they can get, like every single penny. And they have guys that sit at computers and it shows them where every single penny is. And the objective is to make enough points with the, you know, the board, whoever that is, you know, which is above your head. And that's by getting all the pennies. And this kind of thinking has infiltrated, you know, every aspect of life now. And that's affecting all of us. You know, culture is a really strong thing. You know, it will affect everything. You know, even the president, even the kings, you know, they're all affected by People magazine, man. Like, they see, you know, they read it. It's all, we can't hide from culture. So, you know, I'm longing for, like, the last DJ was a guy who went, well, yeah, I know you make more money by, you know, playing them off the playlist, but I don't want to do that, you know. I think that I want to do it this way. Or, like, you know, in the fashion industry, when you see people, yeah, let's pick on the fashion industry for a minute. Like, if you dress up, you know, very young girls, you know, like, you know, 9, 10-year-old girls to look sexy, you may sell more shampoo or whatever it is you're selling, you know, but they've removed the human from that chain that goes, oh, no, I don't think this is a good idea because it might be contributing to the great proliferation of child molestation in America, you know. Maybe. And just because it may contribute to hurting a kid, I'm not going to do it. But if it just comes down the line, you know, from somebody you've never met, that you work for, you've never seen, you're never going to see, hey, that's how we make the most money. And that's what we do. And then people go, well, I get off at 6, you know. So, hey, it ain't me, you know. And so we get caught up in this circle of, well, it ain't me. Well, who is it, you know? So at some point you got to go, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to do that, you know. I'm not going to hurt anybody for money. And when you had mom and pop stores, you know, a small business, they had to care what the customer thought, and they had to care about their product and their customer, or they would, you know, they wouldn't survive. Now you're really falling into the hands, and this is an emergency, it's not some, you know, lame rap. You're falling into the hands of people that don't care about you. They don't care about the product, and they don't care what happens to you or if you come back. And it's time for that to, you know, maybe we should take a long look at that.
But I grew up wanting to have a big pile of pennies, and you've got a big pile of pennies now. So when's the pile enough where you say...
Well, I tell you, that's a simple analogy. You don't need all of them. I mean, I go on concert tours and make a lot of money, but I don't charge as much as I can charge. I don't charge $200 to come in. There ain't ever been a rock show worth $200. You know, and I make a lot of money, you know, I make a hell of a lot of money, and I don't have to have every damn bit of it, you know,
so there's
I don't have to charge $50 to park. or what, you know. Well, I'm not Robin Hood either. I go home with a lot of dough. And I don't think you should be. You know, it's fun to make money, and that's what our country's about, the whole capitalistic system. But somehow rock and roll used to be the people that wouldn't go along with that. Now rock and roll is the people you got into a band to get away from. You know, like you know, so we're kind of stuck in a funny place, but, you know, I don't think you have to. The idea of, like, hey, we did something great and creative and we made some money is a great thing. You don't have to make all the money. Or how about the idea of, listen, you know, you guys could do something not quite so great and not quite so creative and make more money.
I think
it's a bad idea, you know.
I think it's all summed up by the logo right behind us, which is a crown with a dollar bill underneath it, and that represents Money Becomes King, and that's the song we're going to hear right now on this world premiere broadcast of The Last DJ.
A time that once existed when money wasn't king. If you stretch your imagination, I'll tell you all a tale about a time when everything wasn't up for sale. There was this cat named Johnny who loved to play and sing when money wasn't. Get so excited when John would give a show. We'd raise the cash between us and down the road we'd go to hear him play that music. It spoke right to my soul. Every verse a diamond and every chorus gold. The sound was my salvation. It was only everything before money became king. Well, I ain't sure how it happened, and I don't know exactly when, but everything got bigger, and the rules began to bend, and the TV taught the people how to get their hair. Sweet life can be if you keep a tight behind. And they raise the cost of living, and how could we have known? They double the price of tickets to go see Johnny's show. So we hopped all our possessions and we sold a little dough and went off rock and roll. We arrived there early in time to see rehearsal, and John came out and lip-synced his new light beer commercial. And as the crowd arrived, as far as I could see, the faces were all different. There was no one there like me. They sat in golden circles, and waiters served them wine, and talked through all the music, and to John paid little mind. Screen. They'd hung between the billboards so cheaper seats could see. Johnny rocked that golden circle and all those VIPs, and that music that had freed us became a tired routine.
And I saw his face in close up, try to give it all he had. And sometimes his eyes betrayed him, you could see that he was sad. And I tried to rock on with him, but I slowly became bored. Could that man on stage with everything somehow need some more? There was no use in pretending, no magic left to hear. All the music gave me was a craving for light beer. As I walked out of the arena, my ears began to ring, and money became king.
Money Becomes King is new from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Their new album is called The Last DJ, and we'll talk with Tom some more as we are live on the Westwood One Radio Network with Tom Petty for the world premiere of The Last DJ on Warner Brothers Records.